Welcome to worship, everyone. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is present with each one of us through the Holy Spirit of God, for we are all living with God. Well, despite the good weather this past week, we've not been very busy in the shop and the cafe, but we have enjoyed the company of all who have visited. Our thanks again to Margaret, Caroline and Michael for their assistance. I did say last week that Joanna had finally been admitted to hospital for much needed surgery. Well, despite being prepped three times for an op, the hospital finally decided on Thursday they were not going to carry out an operation after all. So she will be coming home as soon as it can be arranged. Both her and Stuart are very upset, and so we continue to hold them in our prayers. I'm sure you don't want me to mention the football, or was it wrestling? Anyway, enough said. On a more serious note, wherever you are today, or whenever you join in with us service, let us all celebrate as one big community in one spirit. God has been with us through the past week in all the joys and all the sorrows. Let us come together and worship God as creator and sustainer of all things and our constant companion in all things. And let's sing the gathering song, "Come, now is the time to worship." Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And the psalmist writes, "Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name for ever, for great is your love towards me. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for all the times and places where we have seen you at work this week. Come and reveal yourself to us again now, that we might be strengthened in our faith and renewed in our trust of you, the King of Heaven. Lord, we praise you, our King of Heaven, our guide and protector. To your feet we bring our tribute, for we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Lord, with confidence we accept your power and authority, knowing that we can always trust in your judgment, for your loving nature pervades all creation, and all shall be well. And so we sing our praise to you. Amen. So let's do that now. Let's sing praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Remind you that the overall theme for our worship together during July is living with God. During this month, we're taking a closer look at some of the sayings and parables of Jesus that relate to the theme of seeds. When Jesus uses the example of seeds, he's using it in the context of growing the kingdom of God. And we're all called in one way or another, not only to sow seeds of the kingdom, but to be seeds of the kingdom, seeds that will produce a spiritual harvest. We've already seen that as Christians, we all represent Jesus in the community in which we live. and that despite our faith being hard for us to live out in the world around us, we can live life to the full by following our Maker's instructions. And we've seen how God is active in our lives and in our communities. If only people could bring themselves to trust God and unlock His Spirit living in them. Today we focus our thoughts on what Jesus had to say about protecting us. As His people, God will protect us if we trust Him to do so. We need protecting because God's people have enemies. It would appear that MPs also have enemies, even former MPs, as we've seen from the brutal murder of Anne Widdecombe. In fact, I would go so far as to say that most people have enemies of some sort. We will see that what Jesus had to say about protecting us in another parable about sowing, often referred to as the parable of the weeds. In this parable, Jesus' teaching emphasizes that the conflict between the reign of God and the regime of the devil. It may seem to many people that the devil is having his way at the moment, as we struggle with so many issues. Indeed, there is very little positivity that can be found in the news at the moment, from brutal murders to deadly fires to still more conflict in the Middle East. Of course, there's so much more, and it's all looking pretty grim. It's easy to look at the world and despair, believing that everything is all weeds, that hope is non-existent. In today's Bible passage, we're exploring how to thrive and grow where we are planted, in other words, where we're living, and how to live with the issues that surround us. And you know what? We do that by trusting God for protection. If we stay true to God, He will stay true to us through the Holy Spirit. God is protecting us, so we must trust God for protection. And that's going to be our theme for today. Our God is awesome. By His word, He brought heaven and earth into being. By His Spirit, He sustains them. Whatever we have been through this past week, we've come today as God's people. Let us recognize God's worth and give Him praise. Let us pray. Lord, the sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before us, let us be singing when the evening comes. Bless You, Lord. We worship Your holy name. Amen. Let's sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul."
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your good
During this next time of prayer, I invite you to join in with the prayer on the song sheet. I will say when to join in. Let us pray. In the words of the psalmist, we pray to God, "Teach us your ways, O God, that we may walk in your truth." Lord, you are good and forgiving. We will give you thanks. We will glorify your name forever. Give your strength to those who call upon your name. Lord, we just stand in awe of you this day and every day. We cannot even begin to thank you enough for all that you do for us. Thank you for bringing us to this new day with all its promises, if we live it in the way you have directed. Lord, you're so rich in love. You're so slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, Lord, how can we thank you enough? But Lord, we know that it isn't just thanks that you want. Your greatest pleasure comes in seeing us live your perfect life, the life you created us to live and enjoy to the full while we can. Lord Jesus, you said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Lord, we know that the enemy is at work in our communities, even in our lives. So often the cares of this world overcome us. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious. Grant your strength to us, your servants. You are forgiving and good, Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear our prayer, Lord. Listen to our cry for mercy. Lord, at this time we come to you in sorrow for our sins, as we recall the times we have not lived as you would have us do so. Lord, we confess that we're quick to decide who are the weeds among us. We, of course, are wheat, so we raise ourselves high, while casting our brothers and sisters down in our harsh judgments. But you, Lord, see the wheat and the weeds within each one of us, the good and the bad, battling for space to grow. So, Lord, together, Lord, we confess our sins to you, as we say together, loving God, we have sinned against you in what we have thought, said, and done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We are truly sorry and turn away from what is wrong. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and forgiveness. Amen. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven living in us, all within us falls at your throne. We lay our all before you now. We live to serve your majesty. Let's sing King of Kings, Majesty. Merciful God, you call us and challenge us to live in the world, to be part of the world, to belong to the world. And so now for the world we bring our prayers. Lord, we pray for the areas across our country where wildfires have swept through swathes of countryside due to the extreme prolonged heat. We pray for those who had to be evacuated because of the threat to their homes. And it's not just in this country, Lord. We pray also for France and Spain, where numerous lives have been lost due to wildfires. We pray for all the households, friends and families involved. And Lord, we pray you will help all those affected to be aware of your presence with them. We pray for the impact the ongoing dispute concerning the Strait of Hormuz is having on the global economy. We pray that all hostilities will cease and lasting peace will be negotiated. We pray for the people of Ukraine and the many other war zones in the world at this time. We pray for those who are hungry for peace and stability, security and safety. And we pray for those who fear the enemy who walks with them, who lives among them, who tries to influence and change them. Lord, we pray for our government and all the to-ing and fro-ing that is going on behind the scenes with regards to the change of leadership in the Labour Party. And Lord, in the light of recent events, we pray for the safety of all politicians. Lord, we pray for those who can't get the care they need, whose illnesses get worse, whose pain increases and whose frailty becomes harder to recover from. And we especially hold before you, Johanna. We pray for our young children being brought up in a digital age, where good and bad, truth and falsehood, right and wrong, seem hard to navigate with so much online influence. We pray for those who see the world as a frightening, uncertain place and wonder how they will step out and navigate it themselves. And Lord, we read in the letter to the Hebrews, encourage one another daily. Lord, you hold us, your church, in love. We hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know. Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us, that there may be new beginnings and a catalyst for change. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, in you alone our hope is found. You are our light, our strength and our protector. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Our comforter, our all in all. So here, in the love of Christ, we stand. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing In Christ Alone.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease.
glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again.
And as he stands,
to make our offering to the Lord. Sometimes it's very difficult to stay focused on the Lord's work, both in our own lives and in the work we do together. It's so much easier to just focus on the negative. Well, I just want to remind us all, including myself, that the Lord is being faithful to the work we do. We're seeing this more and more each week as we meet up with the local people and the many visitors to the town. The Lord has also provided the necessary resources to maintain our church here in Skegness. So I want to thank all of you who are continuing with your tithing, both money and time. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Thank you, Lord, that we have that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. It's a foretaste of that glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. So let's sing Blessed Assurance.
This is my story.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glorious day!
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." You know, the enemy is at work in our communities, even in our lives. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul develops a vision of the whole of creation redeemed, set free from its bondage to decay. He says the present sufferings of this world are creation's labour pains as it seeks to give birth to the children of God. Those who have put their trust in Jesus have been filled with the Spirit. They are God's children, destined for glory. But we are still caught up in a world of suffering, a world groaning in pain as a woman in labour. These words of Paul's create a magnificent image, setting Jesus at the heart of God's plan for the whole of creation. And the passage we're going to hear also develops the implications of being God's children. In the Roman Empire, the household was the primary unit of society, under the authority of the father of the family. The greater the father's standing, the higher the status of the household. Paul says that believers have a new identity, an identity as members of the household of God. Children in Paul's world shared their father's inheritance. So all believers are as much an heir of God as is Jesus himself. For the scattered congregations of the Christians Paul is writing to, and for each of us today, this is an amazing hope, but a hope not yet realised. We, like them, must wait and endure. Eventually the birth pangs will be over. The kingdom will be ours. Wow. Let's hear now from Paul's letter to the Romans.
The reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 25. "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Paul writes, all creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. God's reign has enemies, and we as children of God need protecting. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. God's reign has enemies, so we must trust God for protection. In all the parables in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel teach us about God and his kingdom. They explain what the kingdom is really like, as opposed to our expectations of it. The kingdom of heaven is not a geographical location, but a spiritual realm where God rules and where we share his eternal life. We join that kingdom when we trust in Christ as Saviour. We are to make ourselves ready for God's kingdom by making sure our faith is secure. And we also have a duty to look out for each other, keep each other strong in the faith. As I said before, it's a sort of spiritual neighbourhood watch. Well, let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I asked a question last week. Have you ever worried about whether or not you really are a Christian? Do you sometimes ask yourself whether you are truly saved? Perhaps when you fall to the temptation of sin? Well, let me tell you, if you have to keep asking such questions, then you haven't really understood what Christianity is all about. Being a Christian is knowing that no matter how many times we're tempted to sin, God has already forgiven us through the death of Christ on the cross. The real issue here is that we should set out each day to live as Jesus lived, but knowing that as we do, the devil will try to draw us away from Jesus' side. He does so in so many different ways. And to live as Jesus did means serving others, sometimes having to give up our own rights. But most of all, it means resisting pressure to conform to the world. I have to say that this may seem to many people to be getting harder and harder in today's society, as the voice of Christianity is being drowned out by the need for more political correctness, diversity, and a desire to be all things to all people. More and more issues are being introduced into society without the slightest thought to the future consequences. As Christians, we must speak out about such issues. We must continue to impress on today's society the urgent need to follow the Maker's instructions, because if we don't, there will be dire consequences. Remember, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's time that message was said more and more. God created us and gave us a code by which to live this temporary life we live on this planet. If we don't live by that code of conduct, the consequences for all who don't will be that they are treated like weeds, and they will be thrown into the fiery furnace and so forfeit eternal life. If we live by God's code of conduct ourselves, especially by the way we treat others, then our future is assured. Jesus promised, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." But as with all good things, there is a price to pay for being identified with Jesus. Yes, it's getting harder and harder in today's society, but remember, it always has been. The very first Christians faced massive opposition. Many suffered cruelly for their faith, even being put to death, as indeed was Jesus himself. And over the centuries since, many people have been victimized and even killed because of their faith. Indeed, even today, many people around the world are being treated in such a way. But the message remains the same. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." As Christians, we do have an obligation. And that obligation is to live as God created us to live. We have an obligation not to live by our inbuilt sinful nature. And yes, it's becoming harder and harder to do, especially when people we know, even members of our own family sometimes, try to change our stance. No one wants to fall out with friends and family, but as we've seen in previous weeks, Jesus foresaw this as a potential problem. There's no quick fix, other than to stay true to your faith, whatever the consequences. You know, you can still love someone even if they sin. After all, God still loves us when we sin. It's for that very reason that Jesus warns us of the consequences of putting our own salvation at risk by giving in to the desires of our own hearts and minds. I know, and God knows, that it's not easy. On our own, we couldn't possibly do it. And God knows this too. That's why he promised through Jesus that he would give each of us the gift of the Holy Spirit. As I've said before, a Christian is anyone who has activated the Holy Spirit of God living in him or her, and allowed that same Holy Spirit of God to rule the way they conduct their earthly life. If you have sincerely trusted Christ for your salvation, and acknowledged him as Lord, then the Holy Spirit does live in you, and you are a Christian. And since you now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that eternal life comes through him, you will begin to act as Christ directs. You will find all the help you need with your daily problems. In your praying, you will be empowered to serve God and do his will. And you will become part of God's plan to build his church. And best of all, you will know and learn to trust God for protection. To live as Jesus did always exacts a price. But nothing we suffer can compare to the great price that Jesus paid to save us. Sin has caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. The world is in bondage to death and decay, so that it cannot fulfil its intended purpose. But one day all creation will be liberated and transformed. But in the meantime, we have to live through a world that is physically decaying and spiritually infected with sin. But we don't need to be pessimistic, because we have hope for future glory. We look forward to a new heaven and a new earth that God has promised. And we wait for a new order that will free the world totally from sin, sickness and evil. We will be resurrected with a glorified body like that of Christ in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual realm where God rules and where we share in his eternal life. We join that kingdom when we trust in Christ as our Saviour, when we trust God for protection. For as believers, we do need protecting. And you know that the thing we most need protecting from is ourselves, our ability to sin, our desire to conform to the world and its sinful ways. And that is just what Jesus is telling, or trying to tell us in the parable of the weeds, which we just heard from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus uses the example of weeds and wheat growing alongside each other. The weeds are the unbelievers, and the wheat is those who believe. Young weeds and young blades of wheat look the same, and can't be distinguished until they are grown and ready for harvest. Weeds and wheat must live side by side in this world. God allows unbelievers and believers to live together, just as a farmer allows weeds to remain in the field so that the surrounding wheat isn't uprooted with them. But at harvest time, the weeds will be uprooted and thrown away. And worse still, they will be burnt. God's harvest, his judgment of all people, is coming. If we are to be recognised as wheat and not weeds, we have to make sure our faith is sincere. We have a graphic vision of this in Jesus' own words. Let me remind you of them. Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And then he issues a very stark warning. "He who has ears, let him hear." You know, there are sadly many people who claim to be wheat, but in reality are weeds. There are true and false believers, even in church communities. We, of course, should be cautious in our judgment, because only God is qualified to make this final separation. If we start judging, we may actually damage the good seed rather than encourage that good seed to grow. We can, however, judge ourselves. Indeed, we must always be examining ourselves, for we are responsible for our own destiny. We must care what happens to us after we die. Those who say they don't care what happens to them, or actually say that there's no life after death, just don't realise what they're saying. They will be punished for living in selfishness and indifference to God. My dear friends, God's reign has enemies. The people of his kingdom need protecting, and the task is urgent. God has promised and delivered his protection through the power of his Holy Spirit. Don't doubt for one minute, and don't for one minute doubt your own faith, for then you allow the devil to take your life. Simply trust God for protection. For Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Of course, he follows that with that stark warning, he who has ears, let him hear. And just remember, there is a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. And there is a way we can go there. We can live there beyond time because of Jesus. So aim for this, whatever the cost. Amen. Let's sing, there's a place where the streets shine. As you go your separate ways today, just remember you are protected by God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the creator and sustainer of all things, and we put our trust in you. Be with us in the days ahead, in all our joys and challenges. Help us to remember that all things are yours, and nothing can take us out of your hand. So now we go in love and peace, trusting God for protection, as we serve him and his people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.